Welcome to this podcast version of North America's longest-running soccer radio talk show, Soccer is a Kick in the Grass, heard exclusively here on soccerisakickinthegrass.com. Soccer is a Kick in the Grass podcast are presented by top-notch monogramming Northfield Commons Pittsford and brought to you by the following sponsors, the Rochester Rhinos, the Rochester Lancers, and Western New York Flash, Salvatore's Pizza and Donuts Delight, Dr. Frank Grayson Chiropractor, Livewire, Salen's Meat Products, Faber Homes, Allstate Insurance Agent Enzo Scolo, Dr. David Olivo Family Dentistry, and the Doug Miller Family Sports Park. Now, here's Soccer is a Kick in the Grass.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Soccer is a Kick in the Grass, this podcast being recorded tonight from the Rochester Rhinos kickoff dinner at the home of Rochester Soccer, where pro soccer started, the Italian-American Sport Club. This is Andrew Battisti, and it's me, it's Joe Sirianni. Himself, Joe Sirianni.
And I'd like to welcome everybody here at the Soccer Kick in the Grass. This is where soccer really started in the years past and has evolved to the Rhinos, to the Flash, and to the Lancers that they have come back in the indoor. And certainly it's what we're doing tonight. We are honoring and we welcome home the Rhinos that is the team that really brings forth the, you know, the passion of the game.
And we want to thank, of course, Bernie Iacovangelo and all the great people here at the Sport Club. Three dinners in 3 days.
That's and I wanted to be on a diet besides that.
not possible.
Not the best time for that.
And we have our first guest here joining us and someone who is extremely happy for his countrymen as the German teams have dominated the first leg of the Champions League semifinals. Looks like we're going to see a Bayern Munich, Borussia Dortmund final. And joining us now is Rhinos goalkeeper Christian Nisch. And Christian, I tell you, we'll talk about the rest in just a second, but you got to be very happy for all of your friends and your countrymen over in Germany. It looks like it's going to be an all-German final this year.
I'm very happy, I have to say this. I'm not a big Munich fan. I'm not a big Dortmund fan either, but, I mean, there's something far beyond that, and I'm very happy that the German team's doing that well on probably one of the highest level, or probably the highest level of football in the world.
Lewandowski with 4 goals today. I think, remember when Piero Prati scored 4 goals for, and he's a former Rochester Lancer, played here for 1 season.
Okay.
The great Italian player. So,
you know, life has many changes, and from country to country, you know, soccer seemed to peak, and then, you know, and then they have deep valleys. What do you think really happened in the German league that soccer is so potent right now?
I think actually the German league is doing quite well in the past as well. The thing is they're doing quite well financially, so they're gonna build on a healthy they build up a healthy way. Though it's not that they spend money what they don't have like other countries used to do in the past. So
they still do.
And they probably still do. Yeah. So. Yeah, I think the financial side is a very big aspect of European football, which is big in Germany, and I mean we have probably the best crowd in the whole world regarding the league average of spectators in the stadium, which is soccer is a huge thing in Germany though.
Well, one of the things that I really think that the Germans are doing right is because they have a lot of homegrown product that are excelling right now. The majority of the other team, and I'm sure Germany is the same, they have a lot of imported players that are playing in the league. And, you know, and in many cases, you know, they don't develop their own players. I think that Germany has really gone to the core of the problem and is developing the younger players to play at the level that they do right now.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, every German club, Even in second and third division, they have their own academies, and they're gonna recruit their players from their youth teams. And I mean, look at Dortmund. They're like probably 5, 6, 7 starters today who came out of the Dortmund academy, which is good for the club because it's much cheaper to bring your own players into the team. And it's obviously something really special for the fans as well, because those guys come from, especially Dortmund right now. They are born in Dortmund. They ever lived in Dortmund. And they probably live door to door to the guys in the stands, which makes it makes the guys on the stands feel very close to them.
And one of the best stadiums in the world, and it's one of the most intimidating places to play. All yellow and black, the colors of Dortmund, and it's just incredible. But so we'll see what happens if the two German sides. Looks pretty good right now for the final, but we'll see if maybe a miracle might happen. You never know, but I think it would be a real miracle, being something unheard of for either Real or Barcelona to come back.
It would be a huge miracle, but I mean, we're talking about Madrid and Barcelona, which is teams they are capable to play good soccer as well, and so
four goals it's hard to overcome.
Yeah,
especially when you play to win, and you play a little defense here and there. Yeah. And, you know, I think that they're in for the final.
I hope so. I really hope so. But we're a bit . I will be very happy if the next week's in 2 weeks the games are done and we have a German final.
Be very, very happy for all the Germans. But there's a lot of German players in Rochester. Some played for the sport club, Joe, back in the day.
But definitely, so we had a lot of German players that excel, and you know, I can think of many names right now. But when you get as old as I am, then you're just the one mispronouncing.
Well, sitting right behind us here, yeah. Christian, is the board that has
those two guys that were two brothers, mm-hmm. and they were terrific players. You know, the Hans and Gunther Wolf.
1963 U.S. Soccer Federation National Champion at the amateur level, and that's where the Lancers were formed. If it wasn't for the Lancers, the Rhinos wouldn't be here.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
That's the beginning of soccer. That's where we won the championship. From there, we want to go further. And that's the lens came to be. But let's talk about the Rhinos right now. You're the goalkeeper, and usually the goalkeepers are either the hero or the goat, you know. And tell us a little bit about, you know, the two games that you guys played. And, you know, unfortunately, you lost and by six goals against you. And with all due respect, because
it's the first
it isn't is your fault. It is the defense. It is everything.
Well, it's a team sport, first of all. So it's all it's our fault as a team. So nobody did like really really good in those games. We all have a lot of space to increase. So it's up to us. So we can blame. Obviously, there are a couple of things you could blame. Couple of schedule issues or whatever, but I'm not a person who likes to blame anything else than what I can control. So I mean, we have to increase and improve our performance as individuals and as a team as well. And I'm still very optimistic and very confident in the team that we will keep it up.
Well, it's tough to win on the road. It's not easy to score goals either. It's the hardest thing in the world to do in soccer. But I can say it if you can. It's ridiculous that this league plays back-to-back games. It's the only country in the world that has teams back-to-back. You need at least one day of rest. But unfortunately, because of economics, that's the way things are. But the other thing is, Christian, that you know, when we played Orlando and Tampa, these are teams that have been together for at least 2 months now playing down in Florida, and they've really gotten more the cohesion with their players, especially Tampa, who's an expansion team. So, I mean, Rhinos are a little bit of disadvantage having a shorter preseason and then having to start into the league with just a month of preparation. So what are you going to do, right?
I mean, obviously, this is what I said. There are a couple of facts you could blame, and definitely a couple of things who are not working out for us at all. I mean, to start a season with two back-to-back games, two back-to-back weekends on the road, which means like traveling for 4 days, home for 2 days, be on the road for another 4 days. And I mean, we played Charlotte, and we drove 5 hours to Richmond right after the game, and played the next game in Richmond. Obviously, that's far away from being a perfect preparation for a start for a game, but I mean, it is what it is. So there was a schedule; everybody has to deal with it. I don't think it makes sense to blame any of those points it was still up to us, and we didn't perform the way we should. So it's still our responsibility to give a proper answer now.
Well, one of the things that I really think they should do if these things are going to progress is that they should do, because of the weather, you know, here in Pennsylvania and all that kind of thing, they should pair Rochester and Harrisburg and go play in a warm climate, you know, when we have snow. And so the advantage would be even, because neither team has really been exposed to the good weather. So it would be an even match, I would think.
And well, my thought is actually, if the league and all the organization want to bring it to a very, very professional level, and they already are on a very good level, but if they want to bring it to a kind of a second league, a very professional second league in the States, a season must be longer than 6 months. So this is something you may should work on, even when it's more expensive then. But, I mean...
To avoid back-to-back games.
Soccer is an expensive sport, though.
Well, it's the travel cost. It's not like it is... It's about... In Europe, it's not like that. I mean, in Germany, you can get to and from every city pretty much in a day. And in this country, we've got trips out to Los Angeles and Phoenix and... We had to go to Antigua last year, so it's
well, make divisions then.
That's, I mean, it's a south there, and a north.
We have 14 teams
west
now in the team. On next year with Sacramento, they have 14 teams in the league.
So just make
two divisions.
Yeah. The north and the south.
And you can obviously have to play every team, but you can avoid like this huge traveling that you go to Orlando and Tampa and LA. So
it's hard because, you know, like I said, you got to try to save costs by not having an extra night in the hotel. But let me talk about the defense. It's pretty much the same group that came back from last year. You got, you know, Troy Roberts and Georgios in the center, and you've got Lucas Hernandez on the right. And Chris Etheridge gets better, he'll be back on the left. Got Danny Earls on the left. So at least the defense in front of you, and you're back for your second year, it's a good veteran unit that's been together now for going on their second year. So that's got to be a big factor for the Rhinos this season.
It is. It definitely is. Even when it didn't work out in the first games now. But like I said in the beginning, it's a team sport. So even when we conceded 10 goals so far, it's not only about the defense. Because defending starts at the strikers and in the offense. So same with scoring goals. We are in charge for score goals as well. Obviously not me in this case, but the defenders are up for this as well. So it's not about that we could blame kind of either was our defense or offense. So I'm very happy that we have the defense we have, especially with Troy and Georges. Me in the back, which kind of is a good core of veterans. And I'm, like I said it before, I'm very confident and I'm very optimistic that it will be a very good season.
Yeah, back-to-back with Harrisburg, and they're one of our biggest rivals. Things seem to get very physical with Harrisburg. So what do you expect to see from them on Saturday and then for the home opener next Saturday?
I think we can expect what they do every year. I mean, it's probably not the best technical group in this league, but like I said, they have pace. They're gonna work hard and they're gonna work for 90 minutes. And I think they beat us last year, and I think they tied in the 85th minute, and then they scored against in 89 minutes. So we should be alert by that this will be a very physical test, and will be not easy to play against them.
I'm sure all the fans here and the people here at the Sport Cup, they're waiting for the big day next Saturday when the home opener, 7:00 against Harrisburg. And we wish you guys all the best this season, and we're looking forward to a great year for the Rhinos. And Pat, when I talked to Pat Erker last week, he made a great comment. It doesn't matter how you start, it matters how you finish. So
amen, I guess. Amen, yeah. I guess.
Yeah. Christian, thank you so much. We'll definitely want to get you on our live show at some point down the road, too.
Perfect. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thanks much.
It's Christian Nisch, the goalkeeper for the Rochester Rhinos, here on our podcast tonight from the Italian-American Sport Club. And it's going to be another delicious dinner, as these guys always do. And it's a great, great turnout as well from all the Rhino fans. A little bit different crowd tonight, Joe. Not too many teenage girls, because they're all here. They're all here for the Flash on Monday.
There's a lot of kids, but not as many for the Flash. But 240, 250, so it's not a bad number.
Not bad at all. So we're going to take a quick break now. When we come back, we'll have some more Rhino guests for you as we're here at the Italian-American Sports Club Rhino kickoff dinner. And tonight, I'm going to have some hors d'oeuvres. I didn't get any last Monday.
That's good.
This is Soccer is a Kick in the Grass podcast here on www.soccerisakickinthegrass.com.
Top-notch monogramming is
soccer, Lancers, U.S. national team, Pelé, Pittsburgh United.
Top-notch monogramming is
reggae, Bob Marley, Grateful Dead, Giant Panda, Clash.
Top-notch monogramming is
embroidery, screen printing, heat transfers.
Top-notch monogramming is
Rochester, Pittsburgh, USA wear.
Top-notchmonogramming.com, 248-2650. Top-notch monogramming, peace and love since 1992.
The Western New York Flash kick off their 2013 NWSL home schedule this Saturday, April 27th at Salem Stadium against the Boston Breakers, featuring U.S. national team stars Heather O'Reilly and Sydney LaRue. Kickoff is at 7:35. Now is the time to purchase your 2013 Flash season tickets and flex packs. Tickets are now on sale at the Salem Stadium box office at 460 Oak Street through WNYFlash.com or by calling 454-KICK. The Western New York Flash, experience the best.
Score big with Salins. Salins is proud to call Western New York home for over 140 years. Our premium quality deli meats and hot dogs are hometown favorites. Score big with your family and friends. Enjoy Salins' delicious real smokehouse ham or Salins' mouth-watering real turkey or chicken breast. Ask for Salins deli meats at your favorite meat or food store. The taste that beats them all. Salins.
Hello, I'm Dr. Frank Grayson of Grayson Chiropractic in Brighton with a message to fans and athletes. At Grayson, our focus is to evaluate, recommend, and treat pain and discomfort caused by strenuous training and competition. Emergencies are seen right away at Grayson, and we accept most insurance plans. When you're in pain and need care, call me, Dr. Frank Grayson, chiropractor, at 271-6080. We work hard to make you feel better.
Cooja Cooj, it's me, Soccer Sam, for Salvatore's Pizza. Why Salvatore's? We use the highest quality ingredients in all our menu items. Spotless clean locations. A local family supporting our local community. Full menu delivery. And yeah, we deliver everything but babies. We purchase all our supplies locally from Palmer's. Online ordering at salvatores.com and our hotline 234-5555. And we have an amazing staff. Do it with me. Salvatore's.com.
An experienced professional with more than 15 years in dentistry, Dr. David Olivo welcomes new patients to his family practice at 2005 Lyle Avenue. At the office of Dr. Olivo, you'll discover a warm and comforting environment staffed by professionals who are committed to providing the best available dental care while assuring your complete comfort. Call 328-3382 for an appointment. Dr. David Olivo, offering quality dentistry with a gentle touch.
The Rochester Rhinos play their final road match to start the season this coming Saturday at 7 p.m. against the Harrisburg City Islanders. The match can be seen live at USLNation.com. The Rhinos' home opener is next Saturday, May 4th at 7 p.m. against the same Harrisburg City Islanders. Rhino season tickets, flex packs, and parking passes are now on sale and can be purchased by calling 454-KICK or by visiting the Rhinos' website at www.rhinosoccer.com. Don't miss out on all the exciting action. Get your Rhinos tickets today.
Soccer is a kick in the grass.
And welcome back to Soccer is a Kick in the Grass podcast here at the Italian American Sports Club for the 2013 Rhinos Kickoff Dinner. And finally, you're outnumbered, Joe. Because I have with us right now Matt Lucenaris from the Rhinos, who is a Chelsea supporter, much like yours truly.
That's right. Go Blues.
No, but he dies every time. Every time something happens, he dies. He gets in bad moods. Talk to him.
I couldn't mention.
He blames the referees. He does all kind of things.
I tell you what, I couldn't mention on Monday's live show about what happened with Liverpool, but
we're not
going
to talk about that.
Yeah. That was a.
You see, they give the guy seven games.
Ten game match.
Yes, yeah. But that. We'll get to that in a second. But Matt, let's talk about.
He was hungry. That's why he paid him.
Yeah, not paying him enough, huh?
Yeah, I guess not. Matt, first of all, congratulations on scoring your first Rhinos goal on Saturday against Richmond. Unfortunately, the result didn't turn out so great, but it's hard to play with nine men.
Yeah, it's definitely not the easiest thing to do. You know, it's that's probably second game in my entire career that I've ever had to play with nine men. So,
well, there was a famous Rochester Lancers victory where we played for over a half with nine men and beat Toronto in Toronto.
Oh, wow.
In the quarterfinals of the NASL in 1977. They outshot us 34-1, but our one goal went in.
Really?
One shot we had went in.
Hey, that's all that counts then, right?
One of the greatest games. Our play-by-play guy, Wayne Fuller, lost his voice on the radio when he scored that
goal. You know what? One of the things that really counts in soccer, whether we want to admit it or not, is that you can hit the post, you can do this, you can do that. But if you put the ball in the net, nobody can do anything unless the referee messes around.
Yeah, absolutely. That's kind of the way I've seen it this year, you know. I've noticed, you know, going through preseason and everything that, you know, I've had probably about maximum two chances per game, you know. And I've, you know, granted coming from Orlando City, you know, where, you know, goals come nonstop there, you know, where the midfield's always bringing up the ball to you. Granted, we have great midfield here. But I feel like, you know, with the chances that I get in every game now, I have to mentally prepare myself that whether it's one chance or 10 chances, no matter how many it is, I need to finish them because, you know, as we see a lot of times in games, whether it's in the USL or even in the Premier League, you know, that, you know, guys get one chance and, you know, if you don't finish it, then, you know, you're not doing your job right.
Well, yeah, you know, as Fernando Torres about that.
Yeah.
One of the things that I really think that is essential in the team, of course, the forwards are essential, the defense is essential, but the midfielders, I think that they are the key of the whole thing.
Absolutely.
Because if they serve you with good balls, there's two kind of balls. They got the good balls, the medical balls, and the nowhere balls.
Yep.
Okay. The medical balls, the one that you marked, you got two players, and the guy wants to get rid of the ball, so I give it to you.
Yep.
The other one is when they're loved to you, you got the defender on top of you, and what are you going to do? They face the ball, you got it. And then, of course, they got the other balls that they just go, they kick it no matter where they go.
Yeah.
So,
you know, it's, you know, that's kind of the way it goes, though. You know, it like you said, you know, midfield is such a big part of the game, you know, defensively and offensively. And if you don't have the players, which we do have here at the Rhinos, you know, and we just haven't been able to put it together quite yet, you know, transitioning from defense to offense, you know, and our midfielders carrying the ball and going forward. You know, obviously, you know, when we played against Richmond, we played a one-striker system, you know, a 4-5-1, which actually didn't work out. I mean, it worked out pretty well, I think, you know, with the three midfielders having Michael Tanky, you know, Rosie and Lance in the middle. I think, you know, we benefited from that. You know, they're all working machines, and they all, you know, want to get the ball. Now it's just getting an end result and, you know, being able to, you know, capitalize on our chances and then also, you know, finishing a game out in 90 minutes. First, obviously, we need to get through a 45-minute half, you know, without getting scored on. You know, we've had, I think three of our games so far out of the four, we've gotten scored on in right before halftime. You know, and that's a dagger. You know, regardless of what team you are, getting scored on 30 seconds left in the first half or in the second half, regardless, it really can bring you down.
But that happens a lot in the games lately.
Yeah.
The extra time is the crucial time.
Yeah.
Because it's, for some reason, you seem to relent a little bit, and the other team wants to get in, you know, wants to score, so they got the extra effort.
You know, what I think is really interesting this year in this league, you know, obviously last year was my first year in the USL, and looking at what last year's season was like, not for myself individually or for Orlando City, but as a league as a whole, and looking at it this year thus far, what a tremendous gap in between. you look at every team, I would say, besides probably Antigua, I haven't seen them play yet, but every team besides Antigua has a chance this year, you know, and that's a huge step for soccer in the U.S. It's a huge step for USL. It's a huge step for players, you know, wanting to come up in the leagues. You know, the fact that there's, you know, a good amount, handful of teams that are going to battle, you know, for 90 minutes in and out, you know, back-to-back games, you know, traveling on the road, you know, that's huge for our league.
And everything balances out. You know, we've had two back-to-backs so far this season, but other teams are going to have to do the same thing.
Yep.
And that's going to make it right, because it's an unbalanced schedule. I mean, you've got teams like Los Angeles have played, what, four or five games,
yeah,
six games, and then Wilmington's played one.
Yep.
So it's hard to judge at this point, but from what I've seen so far, it looks like certainly this league, it's tightening up,
yep,
and it's going to be even more difficult. There's going to be no gimme games this
absolutely
year.
Absolutely. I agree with you.
And also, you got the factor thrown in of the MLS reserve teams,
yep,
which, you know, we're going to get the pleasure of playing Montreal, our biggest rival, twice.
Yeah.
I'm sure there'll be some nice crowds for those matches.
Yep.
But we don't know what those reserves are going to be like. It's going to be a mystery.
Well, you know, it's kind of one of those things also where it's still kind of a mystery, at least to myself, you know, because I don't really understand. I think it's great, the relationship that we have, USL, with the MLS. But what good is it going to do for the USL League itself when you have these games that you're going to play that are worth points, but yet the teams who you're playing against, the reserve teams of MLS, they, regardless of the outcome for them, it's not affecting their season, you know. But for the outcome for us, it's affecting our season. Those points are going towards it, and it's a little hard to kind of comprehend the reasoning behind that. But
I think what it is, Matt, it's a step toward having the reserve teams in this league.
You think so?
I think that's going to happen at some point, at least for some of these teams, because that would make this a true, you know, that's what happens with in Germany, for example.
Absolutely.
The amateur
absolutely,
teams,
yeah,
from Bayern and
yeah,
all
yeah,
those clubs play in the third division,
yeah,
and they
yeah,
never leave the third division.
Yeah. Which I understand, and I truly, I've always said, you know, since I've been playing professional soccer and since I've experienced the European style of soccer, you know, obviously that's the way, that's what I did when I was there. You know, I would train with the first team, but I would play with the reserves in the third or second league, whatever league they were in. You know, and the process was a proper process. But here in the U.S., because we're now just starting it, you know, and we're trying to get the ball rolling, I feel like it's late in the game to get that going. Now, granted, it's great that they're attempting to do it, and hopefully it works for the benefit of soccer in the U.S., you know, moving forward. Will I see that be a positive outcome in my career? I don't know. You know, it's hard to believe that it's going to be within the next 5 to 7 years. Hopefully, I continue to play that long to see it really benefit. You know, we all benefit from it. But I do think it's great, the relationship that we have between USL and MLS, and that says a lot about USL versus the NASL. You know, and what we have in this league and what we're capable of doing.
What I really think is that even though it's a like baby step,
mm-hmm,
I think that just the relationship, the recognition that we get,
yeah,
from MLS, that it's an established league, to you know, the pro league, that
yeah,
we're part of it. I think that it's a perception,
yeah,
of something good.
But I just hope that from a player's point of view, that, you know, if we have an outstanding season in the USL, that with this relationship that we have with the MLS, whether it's for us, the Rhinos with New England Revolution, or may it be another club in the MLS, that if a player has a really good season, that the MLS is taking into consideration of bringing that player in.
Well, you know, it's happened before with the Rhinos,
mm-hmm,
that we had players that really excel,
mm-hmm,
and even though we didn't have no working agreement or whatever, as we have it right now, those players, they went into MLS.
Yeah.
And
but I hope that it betters, you yes, know, the system. The system allows it to become more of a relationship, you know.
It's something that I think is going to take time, Matt,
yeah,
because these in Europe, this has been in place
yeah,
for 100 years.
Absolutely.
We're just starting up. I think it's a good, the Don Garber's making good baby steps,
mm-hmm,
forward.
Yeah.
And seeing that, you know, this, we need to make U.S., the structure of U.S. soccer similar to everybody else
yeah,
in the world.
Because
yeah, that's how it's going to be accepted by the U.S. soccer fans who are fans of European soccer.
Yeah.
And then at that point, you may see some of these big names coming to play in the United States, yeah. not just on the tail end of their career, but maybe when they're in their prime. But
yeah.
We've got to talk about Chelsea, okay? We have to talk about Chelsea. I'll say, I'm not as upset with Suarez, as I am with the referee, Kevin Friend.
Yeah.
Suarez should have been sent off for the handball in the penalty area. It was a deliberate handball. So the biting incident would never have happened. There's no possible way that both the referee and his assistant did not see that bite. Ivanovic showed the bite to the referee. Yeah. But the worst part was the goal scored in the 97th minute after 6 minutes of stoppage time was Suarez's goal. But the goal shouldn't even have been the game should have been blown dead at that point anyway.
Yeah.
And I've written some things online saying I think the FA should order the match replayed. I really believe that. I think that the lack of action against Suarez it directly affects the result. If Chelsea loses out on the Champions League by 1 point, they're going to look back at that match.
Well, it's the same thing. You know, it's not the same exact situation, but from your point, it's the same thing when Manchester United was playing Real Madrid in Champions League. You know, when they got this red card, when Nani got the red card, you know, it completely changed the game itself. Now, granted, it was... I can't remember when was Suarez bit Ivanovic.
But
I
don't. The 60th minute.
So about the same time as Nani got the red card in the Man U game. You know, and it completely changed the aspect. I mean, Real Madrid, and you look at them now, granted they got whooped today by Dortmund, but it changes the game, you know, and it's the same thing. If Suarez would have gotten that red card sent off, you know.
They would have changed the game.
But
yeah,
him
sure.
scoring that goal, he directly affected the outcome of the match because he was still on the pitch.
The reality is this. I'm not a referee aficionado.
You don't like referees. You should be on my side.
But the point I got to say is this, is that unfortunately there's five men on the field, and, you know, we expect them, and now the players are actors.
Yeah.
You know, they brought unto them a disbelief. That even though you may have a legal tackle, because of the reputation or because of the eyes that are working, the referee are quick not to do things because.
Yeah, but I think that's that has a lot. You know, I think that the FA needs to step in and they've kind of gotten a little bit strict with guys diving in the box, not getting touched, and then giving them a ban after or a fine or whatever it may be. But they need to control this better, because if they don't, you see it. And it's funny now because I'm not a big sports watcher. I don't when I'm away from soccer, I like to just have my alone time, But you see it in basketball now. You watch the NBA. You look at these guys, how much they flop and dive, and it's like, it's shocking because five years ago,
from Europe though, aren't they?
but 5 years ago, you would have never seen that. And all of these guys are playing FIFA, and they're all watching soccer. They all watch the World Cup. They all watch the European Championship, and they see this. So it's setting an example for other sports as well. It's embarrassing,
Well,
more caveat that I want to address is that the player themselves, with all the respect, there's players right now that are playing just to make a living.
Yeah.
Okay? And then there are players that are multimillionaires.
Yeah.
Okay, and they have a reputation. They have a draw. They bring people into the field.
Yeah.
But my contention is this. You can bring Pelé, which we had Pelé, but just like in your case, we were talking, unless they give you the ball, you ain't going to score no goals.
Absolutely.
It's a team sport.
Yep.
And, it's fair to give people who put the ball in the net a lot of accolades, but it's a team sport.
Yeah.
And, like Ibrahimovic, so all these guys, Ronaldo, my God, he plays beautiful soccer, but I don't like him.
Yeah.
Okay, because he dives all the time.
He's a pretty boy.
Yeah,
he's a pretty boy.
Yeah.
But, to touch on your point about, being a striker and us always getting the accolades and everything like that. Last year when I was in Orlando City, I got Fan Player of the Year. And it was, and granted, that's an award that's on and off the field, I wouldn't have scored all my goals if it weren't for my teammates.
Exactly.
And off the field, to be honest with you, what put me in the position to be that, to get that award was obviously who I became, who I am as a man, and that goes to my parents and that goes to you know, my late fiance, you know, who passed away, and you know, all of these people that I've surrounded myself with who have allowed me to become the man I am. You know, and it's the same thing on the field. You know, it's, you know, as a striker, you know, it's the coaches and the GMs and the team's job to form, you know, players around each other. You know, as a striker, though, like you said, you can be a 50 million euro, you know, player, but if you don't have the players behind you serving you the balls, crossing the balls, then what's it worth? You know,
unless
Fernando Torres.
Yeah.
But I don't believe, though, that Chelsea doesn't have the proper players to give the proper balls. You know, I just believe that Fernando Torres just isn't the proper man for the job. Look at Dembaba. You know, it's a perfect example.
Well, the player that you told me you idolize, Mr. Drogba,
yeah.
He's a guy who took advantage of every chance he got. He practically put it away.
You know, look at him now. He's scoring goals all the time now for Galatasaray. You know, he's knocking goals in Champions League against Real Madrid. He's scoring goals in the League Cup. You know, it's... And how old is he now?
37, I think.
Yeah. You know, so the fact that he's able to still do that better than some guys who are in their 20s, you know, that says a lot, you know.
It certainly does. Well,
look at Balotelli. Balotelli's a terrific player.
He's having fun.
Yeah, well,
he's having fun.
He's doing better in Milan than he was
absolutely.
They control him over there.
Yeah, well, you know, it's his culture there. You know, granted, he's still out there, but the Italian, he's Italian. He's the Italian way.
It's money. Money is the root of all evil.
Yeah.
If he wasn't making all the money that he's making, that he's got two or three Mercedes, three or four, and all the women that go after him.
Well, it's about character, too, because he's a young man. You look at a guy like Beckham, my favorite player. He has all the money in the world, but it doesn't affect him.
It is, of course.
Well, Matt, we appreciate it. This is a great conversation.
Yeah, definitely.
Great stuff. And we wish you guys the best of luck for this Saturday in Harrisburg and
the home opener
next Saturday.
Thank you. I appreciate it, guys. A
couple goals will do.
All right. Sounds good.
Good luck.
All right.
Thanks a lot, Matt.
Thanks.
Matt Lucenaris here on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. We're going to take another break, and we'll be giving some more Rhino players coming up here at the Italian-American Sports Club before we mangia-mangia. Right, Joe?
Mangia-mangia. That's a restaurant named Mangia-mangia.
Mm. I think they're not as good as this place, though, the Italian-American Sports Club. Every other Thursday, you can get lunch here, $13, and you can't get a better meal in town.
I know.
This is Soccer is a Kick in the Grass podcast on soccerisakickinthegrass.com.
Top-notch monogramming is
soccer, Lancers, U.S. national team, Pelé, Pittsburgh United.
Top-notch monogramming is
reggae, Bob Marley, Grateful Dead, Giant Panda, Clash.
Top-notch monogramming is
embroidery, screen printing, heat transfers.
Top-notch monogramming is
Rochester, Pittsburgh, USA wear.
Top-notchmonogramming.com, 248-2650. Top-notch monogramming, peace and love since 1992.
The Rochester Lancers would like to thank all of their fans for backing and cheering on the team during this past regular season. Because of all your support, the Lancers led the MISL in attendance this season. Season tickets for the 2013-2014 campaign are now on sale, with all seats in the house priced at $130 each. Get your tickets through RochesterLancers.com or call 872-KICK. The Lancers will be back for more exciting indoor soccer action this coming fall.
Your family's growing, and it's time for a new home. Why buy an existing house with someone else's style when you can afford a new Faber home built to suit your style and your needs? Start fresh, build new with Faber. Faber homes are in communities with excellent schools, parks, and all the conveniences your family needs. Faber Homes is now building in 6 locations. Visit a Faber Homes model today at Berkshire Park in Henrietta or at Regency Park in Greece. Give Faber Homes a call today. 247-4800 or visit FaberHomes.com for homes starting at $129,900. Faber Homes, great homes, great price.
The Rochester Rhinos play their final road match to start the season this coming Saturday at 7 p.m. against the Harrisburg City Islanders. The match can be seen live at uslnation.com. The Rhinos' home opener is next Saturday, May 4th at 7 p.m. against the same Harrisburg City Islanders. Rhinos season tickets, flex packs, and parking passes are now on sale and can be purchased by calling 454-KICK or by visiting the Rhinos' website at www.rhinosoccer.com. Don't miss out on all the exciting action. Get your Rhinos tickets today.
Doug Miller Family Sports Park is proud to be a sponsor of Soccer's A Kick in the Grass. Doug Miller Family Sports Park is home to Doug Miller Soccer, Rochester Ravens, Rochester Golf Academy, Glacier Ridge Snow Tubing, and Salvatore's. Check us out at DougMillerFamilySportsPark.com.
Score big with Salins! Salins is proud to call Western New York home for over 140 years. Our premium quality deli meats and hot dogs are hometown favorites. Score big with your family and friends. Enjoy Salins' delicious real smokehouse ham or Salins' mouth-watering real turkey or chicken breast. Ask for Salins' deli meats at your favorite meat or food store. The taste that beats them all. Salins.
Do you ever count people talking on their cell phones while driving? It's pretty scary. But what about scary behavior you can't see? A recent study says that one in seven drivers doesn't have car insurance. If one hits you, are you covered? Don't hope so. Know so. Call an Allstate agent today for a free Good Hands coverage checkup. Are you in good hands?
Call Fairport Allstate agent Vincenzo Scolo today at 244-2130. Features are optional and subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Allstate Property and Casualty Insurance Company, Northbrook, Illinois.
The Western New York Flash kick off their 2013 NWSL home schedule this Saturday, April 27th at Salins Stadium against the Boston Breakers, featuring U.S. national team stars Heather O'Reilly and Sydney LaRue. Kickoff is at 7:35. Now is the time to purchase your 2013 Flash season tickets and flex packs. Tickets are now on sale at the Salins Stadium box office at 460 Oak Street through WNYFlash.com or by calling 454-KICK. The Western New York Flash experience the
soccer is a kick in the grass.
Back here at the Italian American Sport Club after a delicious meal, and I don't know how I could eat that much, Joe. It's the second one in 3 days.
You just can't resist the food. That's it, you know.
Best
that's
in
the Italian in us.
That's right.
Some people can say no. We say yes.
That's right. Say mangia mangia.
Mangia mangia.
Joining us right now is the coach of the Rhinos, Jesse Myers. And Jesse, this is your second time. It's as good as the first, as the dinner.
It's unbelievable. Actually, I was at the Flash one last year. I couldn't take any more calories this week.
Hey, it's a special occasion. You can indulge a little bit.
Fantastic food.
Well, Jesse, I tell you, it's the turnout over here is tremendous. We owe a lot of kudos to Bernie Iacovangelo for putting this event. But above all, we owe a lot of kudos to your guys. I mean, it's just the Rhinos are doing a good job. Rough start. But your boss told us, he says, it's not the beginning that counts, it's the end.
Yeah, no question. You know what, and I'll say it up here tonight. It's a very, very talented group. Probably quite a bit deeper than we were last year, as long as we can stay healthy. They've just not yet put it together. They're still learning each other. They're still trying to figure out who does what, and that takes a little bit of time. So with our short preseason, you know, those four games, even though they count, were a very good indication to me of, you know, who really can do what. So they're very important. Obviously, you want more points out of those four we weren't able to get, but at the end of the day, I have a pretty good feeling where we are. We got guys coming back healthy, so I tell you, it's going to be difficult to pick an 18 here very soon.
And this league has a lot of parity this year, Jesse. I think unlike last year, I think there were some teams last year I think that were, you know, an echelon lower than some of the top teams. But I think this year we're looking at it, and I think any of the teams could beat any other team on a given night. So these results are going to even themselves out when these teams start going on the road.
Yeah, I mean, you know, last year we had six wins. One thing that happens in this league all the time, except for Orlando last year, everybody had their ups and their downs at different times. We started out at 6-0. At some point, middle of the season, Charleston didn't get a win in 9 games, and they ended up winning the championship. So you're right. The parity this year is even more. I think one of the things that indicates where the parity is how difficult it is to win on the road. Last night, Orlando went into Charlotte, who I thought was the weakest of the teams we played so far, and drew with Charlotte in Charlotte. So getting home results, which was actually difficult for us last year, I think that's going to be a big, an important step for us.
Jesse, one of the things we were, you know, that we always talked, at least especially me, because I always think that the most important factor or section is the midfield, because the midfield can either, they can help defend, they can help attack. Do you believe that you got what it takes right now as far as the midfield is concerned?
I do. I don't know if you saw the game against Richmond last week. Second end of a back-to-back. They played very well. We inserted Tanky to give us a little bit of energy. We put Tyler Roseland kind of in that attacking midfield role because of the work he does. Lance Roseboom has been fantastic for us this year and gave us quite a bit of energy. 35 minutes, it couldn't have gone any better for us. Tanky comes with a little knock on the head, and he'll be fine. But we couldn't keep him in the game with the concussion situations these days. So it seemed to just losing Tanky at that time just took a little bit of a little bit out of our sails. We've been very poor. My one concern, I've talked to the boys about this. We've just given up too many goals a couple minutes before halftime, a couple minutes after halftime, and those are that's lack of concentration, and that's the one thing that we have to get better. We have to be more concentrated through a whole match.
I remember in my soccer days that when we went into the locker room and then we prepared to go out, the coach always just said the first 15 minutes are the most crucial game time in the game.
Yeah.
2-2 tie is the worst score you can have, or 1-1 tie, whatever. Mm-hmm. But the reality is the thing that many things are happening right now in overtime, in supplemental
extra time. Yeah.
Yeah. Why is that?
For me, it's a lack of concentration. I think we're right now at this point, I think we are fit enough. But again, I think we're fit for, I think we're made right now for one game a week or one game and a few days off and play again. Soccer is not meant to be played. In sprint, game day after day. It's unfortunate we have to do it. We do it. We accept it. What else can you do? We can't change it. So you got to move on with it. And to do it early, I guess one thing I've learned, I've had a lot of these back-to-backs. I never thought in my 16 years or 17 years now in this league that we've done it in the first two weekends and had to travel. It's been difficult. It's not an excuse. We have to get better, but obviously, we've been a little bit tired. We need to get better, and our concentration level has got to be better.
Well, you have one game this weekend, and it certainly won't be an easy one. Harrisburg, one of the toughest teams in the league to play against because of their physical style and their hard work. So it's going to be a war of attrition down there in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, we need, again, I said it last week, we need points. We need to get points. We need to start building a little bit. Not that we're not confident, but we're a bit thin right now there. There's a little bit of doubt sneaks in, and that's not good. So we need to get a result. We certainly would love to get 3 points, obviously. But right now we just got to battle and get back to basics. We defended better. We've just got to, the concentration for 90 minutes has got to be better.
One of the things that exists in Rochester, and I'm sure that you have already experienced or been told about, that we, the soccer fans, we sort of think that we know everything about soccer. Okay? And we're Monday morning quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. We look at the game. And there's a lot of things that have been said in the community pertaining to, who are the Rhinos right now. I mean, the team. So what would you say to those people?
I think, again, it's not a sprint. It's a long, long race. So, hey, last year we got off to 6-0. Things were fresh and new. Trust me on this. I'll say it again. it is a very deep team. JC's back training. Ross LeBeau will be back again, probably playing a bit this weekend, hopefully. So we're getting people healthy. And as soon as we get some confidence and figure it out a little bit, we'll be just fine. I'll be honest with you. I am, you know, you never like to lose, but I'm not worried. I'm really not. We will get this back right. We've got too much talent.
Jesse, for the fans out there who are listening to this podcast, they want to know, I'm sure, about the new players. Mm-hmm. Who are the names, who are the numbers they should be looking for next Saturday when we play Harrisburg at the stadium?
Yeah.
So who are some of the guys who might
some of the new guys.
Watch out?
Obviously, Luzanaris is a bundle energy up top. He's got a little bit of pace. He scored last week against Richmond early on. He brings a lot of energy up top. Lance Roseboom is a very hard-working, determined center midfielder. Been very, very good for us. Cleans everything up. He's got some definite qualities that Lennon did. He's probably a little bit more mobile than Lennon. A little bit quicker. More mobile than Lennon. Very good young player. So, I mean, those are two right off the bat. The other issue I think that we've got to figure out is who's going to run up top with Luzanaris. I mean, you've got a plethora of decent players, but you got to find a combination that works and that works well together. Blake Brettschneider's done very well. Matt Horth is another one, a big presence, 6'4". You know, I don't think has found his stride yet, but once he does and gets confident, just like every forward, when they get confident and they start banging in goals, you know, good things start to happen. So
for the fans, me being a Chelsea supporter, one of the things that Rafa Benitez has been doing, he never puts the same lineup out there twice.
Yeah.
Because of all the matches he has to play.
Right.
Is that something that we might see from you, or do you think you want to find a set starting 11 and stick with them?
Well, I think what we need to do is find that group that I feel it works best together. And once we do that and the games start coming fast and furious and, you know, we start playing in the heat of the summer, then we can do some changing around. And, yes, I think it is important. You do have to keep everybody fresh. You have to keep everybody involved because you don't want to lose guys that will be important and will help you down the road. So I do agree with that. It's just a matter for us right now. I think we've got to find that 11 that kind of clicks a little bit together.
Exactly.
before we can kind of take a step backwards and figure the rest of it out.
The thing about soccer players, about a team, is that they need to, you know, the players that are playing constantly, they need to know each other, where they move, how they move, how they open themselves up, all that kind of thing. If you keep on changing the lineup, you know, unless those players have played, then, you know, then they're just a mess.
No continuity. So,
exactly.
Yeah, and when you play back, you know, here's the other thing, two people forget. When you play back-to-back games, very difficult to try to prepare for the second half of the back-to-back because until that night, you played the first game, you don't know who's healthy, you don't know who's feeling well, you know, the other team's sitting there waiting for you, so it's difficult.
It's tough, sure. But you think you might go with maybe some pairs of players who might be matching up well together? Maybe have a two strikers who might play a first game and another two strikers who might come in for a second game.
Yeah.
And maybe team up a couple of guys together that will work off each other.
I think the one thing I've come up with is I think I've got a lineup, and I don't want to divulge too much of who is best on the road for this team. Until we get home and we get a little bit of rhythm, you know, we'll figure out a little bit more who's better made for the home games. Because obviously at home, you want to score goals, you want to be exciting, you want to do, you know, you want to create chances, you want to get the crowd into it. So, you know, it's important. It's a little bit different than you do on the road. You sit back a little bit and counterattack and things like that.
Well, I'm sure that, you know, the victors, they're going to come. I'm sure that, from my perspective, I ask all the listeners to be patient. I ask all our listeners to buy season tickets. I ask all our listeners to come to the game, watch the game, just support the team, because with the fan support and with the fan, you know, we can be the 12 men on the on the field. The victories are going to come. It's just, you know, we've got to be patient. Yes.
I'll tell you something that's kind of funny, that I talked to a couple of the boys here that are here, obviously, from New England, and I said, have you guys, have anything like this here where the supporters, they have a dinner for you? They were completely surprised. So they don't, you know, the young guys don't really understand the history just yet, but they soon will. And they're soon getting a feel of it for tonight. It's a terrific event.
I think that's where Pat and guys like my partner here can talk about the Lancers
what a great history
of soccer.
What is the history that we used to have with the Lancers? Win or lose, we used to have a party over, Pat's father-in-law, Charlie Shano, and of course we had our bad times as well.
Sure.
And we had our problem, but the reality we were a family.
Yeah.
Many times the people came over to my house. We cooked with my wife used to make macaroni.
Have a good time, have a few beers, and enjoy life.
Exactly.
That's right.
So
it is a family. It's like it's exactly what it is, and that's why it's going to take a little bit of time because it's like you're bringing in people, and it's only been about a month now that the team has been together compared to some other teams that have been together for a number of months.
So
that's why like you said, that's how you finish up.
Sure.
When everything starts gelling, that's when you really see what you're made of.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's going to take us some time. I think we'll get better. We have gotten better. I've seen bigger moments of more consistent play. So at some point, you know how it is. Sometimes you're not sure if you're there, and all of a sudden one day, for whatever reason, it just happens. Can't explain it, but it happens. So,
well, we can only wish you the best.
Thank you, gentlemen.
And you got our support. Sometimes we disagree, but at the end of the day,
I disagree a lot.
That's what sports is about.
Especially when I talk about Chelsea. Jess, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you once again. Thanks for all you guys do.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Yep.
Thanks, guys.
Jesse Myers, head coach of the Rochester Rhinos, and everybody's getting their cookies behind us. So we're going to take a break, and we'll come back. We'll have some more from the Italian-American Sport Club, some more Rhino players, as we kick off the 2013 Rhino season here from the Sport Club on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass podcast on www.soccerisakickinthegrass.com.
Notch Monogramming is
soccer, Lancers, U.S. national team, Pelé, Pittsburgh United.
Top Notch Monogramming is
reggae, Bob Marley, Grateful Dead, Giant Panda, Clash.
Top Notch Monogramming is
embroidery, screen printing, heat transfers.
Top Notch Monogramming is
Rochester, Pittsburgh, USA wear.
Top Notch Monogramming.com, 248-2650. Top Notch Monogramming, peace and love since 1992.
The Rochester Rhinos play their final road match to start the season this coming Saturday at 7 p.m. against the Harrisburg City Islanders. The match can be seen live at uslnation.com. The Rhinos' home opener is next Saturday, May 4th at 7 p.m. against the same Harrisburg City Islanders. Rhinos season tickets, flex packs, and parking passes are now on sale and can be purchased by calling 454-KICK or by visiting the Rhinos' website at www.rhinosoccer.com. Don't miss out on all the exciting action. Get your Rhinos tickets today.
Caring for your teeth is a key factor in promoting good health. Joe and Andrew highly recommend Dr. David Olivo and his family practice at 2005 Lyle Avenue for all your dental needs. Dr. Olivo and his experienced staff provide a wide array of dental services and procedures in a comfortable and caring atmosphere. New patients are always welcome. Visit Dr. Olivo's interactive website at davidolivodmd.com or call 328-3382 for an appointment. Dr. David Olivo. Olivo, offering quality dentistry with a gentle touch.
Don Telephone. I believe in America, and my daughter is the light of my life. But she weeps because she's so lonely. I said to my wife, for justice, we must go to Don Telephone.
Buonasera, buonasera. We know each other for years, and this is the first time you come to me for help.
What do you want of me? I'll give you anything you want.
You ever needed a friend like me? And now you come to me and say, Don Telephone, you must give me justice. You don't even call me the mob father. But I'll make you an offer you can't refuse, huh? Then you call LiveWire at 325-0000.
What shall I pay you?
You don't pay anything at all because it's completely free. And all your daughter has to do is call 325-0000 and she will weep no more. I ask nothing of you, Bonacera, but someday, and that day may never come, I will call upon you to do a service for me in return.
Mob father. You understand everything.
When have I ever refused an accommodation? But you must be over 18.
Hello, I'm Dr. Frank Grayson of Grayson Chiropractic in Brighton with a message to fans and athletes. At Grayson, our focus is to evaluate, recommend, and treat pain and discomfort caused by strenuous training and competition. Emergencies are seen right away at Grayson, and we accept most insurance plans. When you're in pain and need care, call me, Dr. Frank Grayson, chiropractor, at 271-6080. We work hard to make you feel better.
Cooja Cooj, it's me, Soccer Sam, for Salvatore's Pizza. Why Salvatore's? We use the highest quality ingredients in all our menu items. Spotless clean locations. A local family supporting our local community. Full menu delivery. And yeah, we deliver everything but babies. We purchase all our supplies locally from Palmer's. Online ordering at salvatores.com and our hotline 234-5555. And we have an amazing staff. Do it with me. Salvatore's.com.
The Western New York Flash kick off their 2013 NWSL home schedule this Saturday, April 27th at Salem Stadium against the Boston Breakers, featuring U.S. national team stars Heather O'Reilly and Sydney LaRue. Kickoff is at 7:35. Now is the time to purchase your 2013 Flash season tickets and flex packs. Tickets are now on sale at the Salem Stadium box office at 460 Oak Street through WNYFlash.com or by calling 454-KICK. The Western New York Flash. Experience the best.
Soccer is a kick in the grass.
Back here at the Italian American Sport Club, the Rhinos kickoff dinner, and somebody who I don't know if it's been his first time on the show.
It's the first time.
But we mention him every single week because without him and his support from the Rhinos office, we wouldn't have a show, probably. Dave Selinski, the VP of the Rhinos, joins us. Dave, welcome.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be on the show and listen every week.
David, I can only tell you that in all my years in soccer and dealing with management, you have been one of the best guys to deal with. And my compliment to you, not only of what you do, but the passion that you have to make the Rhino a success.
Thank you very much. I greatly appreciate that. I love what I do. I love being involved, and it's been an unbelievable ride. So tell us
the season. First of all, we want you to address the people that as far as the package that you offer.
Yep, we have several different types of season ticket packages. They start at $99 if you're looking for an individual season ticket. We have a great family pack, which gets you four season tickets for $299. Basically, it's buy three, get one free. And then we have a couple different flex packages where you can buy either 5 or 15 vouchers. And those vouchers are great. It's the same discount as a season ticket, but you have the flexibility to attend the games that fit in your schedule. If you can make the home opener, you can come out to the home opener. If there's a couple games or you have an event going on, you can skip those and just redeem those vouchers for actual for tickets, the games that you want to attend.
How about that? You can't ask for anything more. Dave, since you're here, we want to talk about what's going on the business side for the Rhinos, things that maybe the fans aren't privy to seeing, but it's very important to the functioning of this business, because it is a business. You got to make money. So what's going on in the business side that the fans should know about? What are some of the events that are planned for this coming season, both soccer-related, maybe you could drop a hint, what non-soccer-related events might be coming?
We have a few non-soccer events, and I'll defer that to Pat. Pat has the final say, just because of scheduling and things like that come along the way. But once again, we have some of our great events planned again this year. I believe this is our 7th annual Bark at the Park. We can bring your dog to the game. That'll be on Sunday, June 16th. We also have our Hometown Heroes Night, which is going to be May 31st. The opportunity for us to, our annual tribute to the firefighters, the police officers, the ambulance drivers, anybody who is working every day to make our lives easier. Is a chance for us to say thank you to them. And I believe this is probably either the 14th or 15th year we've done that with the Rhinos organization. It's a wonderful, wonderful way for us to use the professional team to say thank you, be part of the community, and actually say thank you to the community. We'll have heavy involvement with the RPD, the RFD, as well as Monroe Ambulance, as well as the different towns as well. It's a little easier for the city to be involved because we are in their district. And if we pull somebody from Greece or Gates or Webster, they're actually usually on duty. So it's very tough to pull that off. But once again, some other upcoming events which are going to be circle on your calendar. Make sure you keep those dates open. June 29th, Hall of Fame night. Be turning into an annual tradition to induct some new members into our ring of famous Rhinos and players who we cherish. And it seems like they might have played 10 years ago, but it seems like their ability, their skills, the goals they scored have doubled and tripled since that time.
And I think we do know who the honoree or honorees are going to be this year. I think that is common knowledge at this point.
We haven't officially announced it. I know it's on some of our advertising materials. I believe it's on our website as well, so anybody can take a peek and see what that is. And we'll have some additional information, additional events coming up that will be tied into that weekend. So it'll be a great opportunity for fans today, for fans of yesterday, to come out and really, I look at this as a moment to cherish. I know a couple years ago I worked with you guys extensively on the 40th anniversary of the Lancers NESL Championship, and that's what I view this Hall of Fame night for us, is every year the opportunity to look back, to think back, and enjoy those moments that sometimes we don't get to enjoy as much. It happened 4 years ago or 15 years ago. We talk about it, but here's an opportunity to have those people back and relive those wonderful moments that is all about sports. It's about cheering for your team, but it's those moments, whether you had it with a family member or a friend or a loved one, that's what keeps us coming back. That's what keeps us involved, invested with our local team, whether it's the Rhinos or somebody else.
As Dean Martin used to say, memories are made of this.
Yes. Exactly. The reality, David, is that I think that from the perspective of business, the organization, like Pete outlined before, you guys got a great staff. You're doing a tremendous job, and we want to compliment you because without you there and all the good things that you do, I've seen you multitasking. I've seen you running around like a chicken without a head, to put it in those terms. But, you know, there is a passion. And from my perspective, my personal perspective, and from Soccer Kick in the Grass, so we just want to thank you very much.
Thank you,
for
guys.
All that you do.
It's yeah. Great. I appreciate being on, and all the best this season. I'll be listening every week. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, if you listen to him, you don't know what he's going to say.
Thanks,
Dave. Dave Slitsky, the VP of the Rochester Rhinos, he's going to pass the headset over to the new assistant coach of the Rochester Rhinos, plus a star defender, one of the most international players we have, originally from Greece and played many years in Italia Serie B. Giorgio Kiriassis joins us. And Giorgio, thank you for being on the show again.
Nice to see you again, guys.
I you know, even though his name is Greek, I consider him Italian. So,
actually, me too. I consider myself at least at half Italian.
Yeah. Well, that's a good thing, Giorgio. And I have to make a confession. I petitioned to have you on my table, but somehow things got mixed up. But Peter and May, there was other people that I'm sure enjoy your copy of that.
Yeah, exactly. Last year we were together.
Exactly.
That was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Giorgio, you got a new position with the team, more responsibility, more input from you. Tell us about,
my new job.
The new job.
Yeah.
Your second job.
Yeah, it's exciting, you know. I always had in my mind, especially the last 3 years, to do this kind of job. I mean, it's something that I like to do in the future, maybe when I will retire. I like to coach. Now I had this opportunity, of course, to still keep playing and in the same time to help Jesse to do his job. I'm just trying to do, what I know to do best. I'm trying to use my experience, my knowledge to help especially the young guys, so we can build and create something important this year.
Certainly one of the things that, it would be remiss if I didn't ask you is the fact that, there's a couple games that you guys played. Tell us your view.
Of course, it wasn't the perfect start for us. But, we are just in the beginning. We have many games more to play. Now we are in the period, in the time of period that we start to know each other, because actually we didn't have enough time together in the preseason. And we, you know, we had the new guys from New England Revolution. We tried to, you know, to put everyone in the team to make them understand what we need, what are the expectations this year. And so I think we need a little bit more time to make a strong team, to create a strong team.
I would be remiss if I didn't ask about the Richmond game. Obviously,
yeah.
It's tough to play with nine men, let alone 10 men. But
yeah.
What happened on the penalty? And, you know, he got a red card in an NASL match, so he feels your pain.
Yeah.
Of course it was a penalty. Of course it was a red card. We know what the rule says in this occasion when you are the last player, last defender. It was just bad luck. I mean, we couldn't throw away the ball, and I had to interfere there, and I was a little bit late, so it was a clear penalty, clear red card. You know, unlucky time. I hope it's the first time and the last time for this season.
The first red card you ever got?
In my career?
Yeah.
No. I had some more. I can't imagine. It wasn't so much, so many, but I think I had something like five, six.
He's not Gary Lineker. But,
yeah.
So you're going to be on the bench then on Saturday.
Actually not. Actually not.
You can't because you're red card.
Yeah, exactly. Because I'm still a player, so as a player I can be in the bench with a red card.
So are you going to be in the go with the team and be in the press box or something?
I don't know. We have to discuss this with Jesse. I don't know how it. If it was here, it was, you know, much easier. But now that we have to travel there, I don't know how we can do it.
But so you'll be ready for the home opener then. You'll be nice and rested and
exactly.
Ready
honestly, I can't wait. I mean, I was waiting all these 7 months of off season, the first game here in Rochester, and I can't wait because I still remember the last game here. In Rochester. So I can't wait to start playing again here in Rochester in front of all these fans that we have. And actually, I want to win the championship, guys. You know, my age, I mean, I'm not anymore 23, 24. I'm in my last years in my career, and I want to, before to retire, to win a championship.
Okay, let's do this. Because we you know, people know that you speak Italian.
Okay.
And because they know who you are.
Okay.
Tell the skeptic of soccer in Rochester, the Italian people, that they are the coaches.
Okay.
You know, after the game, everybody's a coach.
Yeah.
Tell them what you think.
What do you mean about the skeptic?
People that say, oh, this team is no good, this and that, you know, what happened,
who should start. And,
I have to say it in Italian, this?
Si. Se vuoi.
Si, non ci sono problemi. No, I'm... Lo so che qui ci sono, prima di tutto ci sono tante nazioni qua, ci sono tanti greci, tanti italiani, tanti tedeschi, abbiamo tante nazioni qui e quindi sono, lo sanno come si gioca
a calcio.
Quindi tutti più o meno ci sentono come allenatori, quindi vogliono dire la loro opinione, ma... Sai una cosa, devono capire che qui siamo in America, c'è una cultura diversa, devono avere pazienza perché stiamo cercando di creare qualcosa di nuovo, specialmente adesso, quest'anno, con questa affiliazione con i New England, no? Stiamo cercando di portare il gioco in un altro livello. Abbiamo bisogno di un po' di tempo.
Pazienza.
Un po' di pazienza. Abbiamo giocatori, come avete detto prima, che hanno un'esperienza internazionale, quindi cerchiamo quest'anno di sfruttare la loro conoscenza del gioco, quindi di creare qualcosa di importante. Un po' di pazienza, io credo che, e spero quest'anno di poter vincere il campionato.
Grazie tanto.
Can you summarize that in about 30 seconds what you said for all the English?
We have to be patient. We have to give a little bit time to the team because we're trying to create something new, especially this year with this affiliation with the New England. I mean, we have some new kids, and we try to bring the game in another level. We try to bring some more quality, some more experience in this league, in this team, and we try to build a new strong team, trying of course to have a successful year. A successful year means to win the championship here in Rochester. So let's be patient. We have many games. Let's come, everyone in the stadium, to support this team, these guys. We have a lot of young guys. They need the support. And I think at the end of the year, and I wish at the end of the year to be able to win the championship.
Yeah, I couldn't have said it better myself.
Yeah. Giorgio, buona fortuna.
Grazie mille.
Thank you very much.
And before we go, though, I would be remiss if all of our fans who are Greek, we want you to invite them to come to see the Rhinos play this year. So can you give some words, a couple words in Greek?
In Greek, yeah. No, πρέπει να καλέσω όλους τους Έλληνες που έχουμε. Έχουμε πολλούς Έλληνες εδώ στο Rochester να έρθουν να βοηθήσουν την ομάδα, γιατί χρειαζόμαστε τη βοήθειά τους και με τη βοήθειά τους πιστεύω ότι μπορούμε να κερδίσουμε το πρωτάθλημα φέτος.
Thank you, Giorgio.
Thank you guys. Nice to see you again.
And thank you.
We'll see you next Saturday.
Okay. Next Saturday. Okay.
Grazie di tutto.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Giorgio Kiriassis is the player,
rock-solid
defender, assistant coach of the Rochester Rhinos, who's multilingual. So, we can't hear that in any other radio show. Italian and Greek and English in the same show.
Now we got to go get Ross, because we promised that...
we're going to get... Ross LeBeau was our Rhino at our table tonight, Joe and I. And I want to also thank Joe for allowing me to come to this dinner gratis. So Joe's going to take care of that. We'll just remind everybody that the Rhinos will be in action this coming Saturday at 7:05 against the Harrisburg City Islanders. You can watch the game on uslnation.com. And then next Saturday is the home opener. You don't want to miss it. It's the 7:05 kickoff on Saturday, May 4th, against the same Harrisburg City Islanders. And by the way, if you are going to see the Western New York Flash's home opener this coming Saturday, USL Nation, you can watch the game or listen to it on your mobile device. So you don't have to miss a second of Rhinos action while you're watching Abby Wambach and the Western New York Flash in their home opener against the Boston Breakers. So we're going to be getting our next guest in just one moment.
He's talking to a beautiful lady over there.
No, we don't want to interrupt
just,
him.
We don't want to interfere the conversation that might be fruitful.
He won't have to call LiveWire then.
Yeah, no.
Don't call the mob father.
The mob father. Where are you, mob
father? Well, Bernie Acavangelo couldn't join us tonight, Joe. But again, we got to send out a big thank you to him, because without him, these dinners would not happen. And many of the players, Ross was telling us, the New England guys who came in have never seen anything like this when they were playing for the Revolution. So it shows the passion of soccer in Rochester. And you've experienced it for what, almost 45 years now. That's right. Ross will be joining us in just a moment, Joe. So,
well, Ross, I was watching you.
Ross LeBeau is joining us now, new player for the Rochester Rhinos. Came over from Colorado, where he was teamed up with former Rhinos, Steve Guppy, Danny Earls. We can't forget Scott Palgudo.
Very
good friend of our show. We follow him very closely now, starting his coaching career out in Colorado. But, Ross, welcome to Rochester. And you told us at the table how you came to be in Rochester. Why don't you tell all of our listeners?
Yeah, so after my 2.5-3-year stint in Colorado, I had done preseason for a week up in Seattle. Things didn't work out there, and I didn't really have many options. At that point, Danny being such a good friend of mine, we talk, and he say, "Hey, Ross, you want to come up and play for Rochester?" And, I wanted to continue my soccer career, so what a great place to continue it at a place like Rochester.
Well, it was a pleasure to have you on our table, of course, and you're a native of Chicago.
Yeah.
I understand that. And
that's where he got red carded.
You did?
City, yes.
Ah.
Yeah. 19th, the only NASL trainer ever to get red carded.
In those days.
He kicked the referee in the you-know-what.
No, when? Man.
Yes, you did. You don't deny it. It's on tape.
Referees are... I have made peace with referees now. So I defend them.
Yeah, those refs.
The Chicago Sting back in the day, what a team they were.
So I actually have a little cool thing. So I know Chicago Fire coach really well, Frank Klopas. When he played on the team in that 98 season, the inaugural season, they had a Sting jersey that night. And Frank actually gave me his commemorative Chicago Sting jersey. So I have a yellow Chicago Sting Fire jersey, wow, number 41. Oh, so no one else, I think, has that out there.
That's a collector's item. Don't get rid of that.
Collector's item.
Karl-Heinz Granitza. What a player he was back in the day.
With all due respect to soccer today, in the North American Soccer League in those days, there were many players that had played in the national scene, and they really were a pleasure to watch play.
Yeah.
I mean, soccer has come a long way. We're going toward their kind of stuff. And as we were talking at the table, you indicated that, you know, you see a tremendous effort to improve soccer in the United States.
Yeah, I think, like you said, with soccer, it's growing in America. It's still fairly young. Like I said, other leagues, the teams have been around for hundreds of years. And so it's at MLS, you know, it being the highest league now in North America. You know, it's still building. It's still trying to get to the places where, you know, Europe, South America, countries like that. But I think we're moving in the right direction. I think, you know, with the national team always doing well, and whenever we do well in tournaments, you know, World Cups, Confederations Cup, whatever, we always have to show well just to show that, you know, we are catching up and that we can compete with the best.
You know, when you were in MLS, you had a chance to play in the CONCACAF Champions League, playing against some of the Central American teams who are very difficult to beat at home. So yeah. How did that experience shape your young soccer career?
Oh, they're awesome games to play in. Those are the games you want to play in. Those are the games you hope for. Like you said, not everyone gets to play in the Champions League. And so our coach giving us the opportunity to go and play in Honduras and Mexico and El Salvador was great. I mean, the environments were hostile. The humidity was tough. We played a game in Honduras against who was the team we played against? That wasn't Metapon. Real España. That's a Real España. They kept the grass long, so come 20 minutes in the game, your legs were shot. And it was just little ploys like that show you, you know, it's tough to play down there. You know, the refs aren't giving you calls. They might not speak English. You know, you might get a little cheap shot here and there. It gets chippy, and like I said, it's something they've grown up with. It's embedded in them. And go ahead.
In my career, we played in Guatemala.
Yeah.
And in Guatemala, we played in a tournament, which we did
the
very well.
Champions Cup tournament.
And I remember that they call us the Gringos.
Oh.
You know. And when we played against the local team.
Comunicaciones.
Yeah, Comunicaciones. You know, before we were the hero, when we played against their team, they threw stuff at us.
Yeah, this is the Rochester Lancers were the only team in the NASL history to play in the Champions Cup, and you know, we tied Cruz Azul in that tournament.
That's awesome. That's a big club. Yeah, a big club.
Let me tell you, of all the time that I have had in soccer, we stayed in the same complex with Cruz Azul.
Okay.
And the camaraderie that was established between Cruz Azul player and Rochester Lancer players was tremendous.
Yeah, no, like you said, soccer brings people together. It is the world's game, and I don't remember what World Cup it was, but wasn't there a civil war stop? Was that Togo?
Yes.
When Togo made the World
Cup?
Right.
That's right.
And so when you hear things like that, it's awesome, and you hope that, you know, soccer can continue. It's love and people enjoying it and wanting the world's game to be, you know, here in America as well.
So you in MLS, you had a chance to play against some of the greats. I got to ask you, my favorite player is David Beckham. Did you ever have a chance to play against Beckham when you were with Colorado?
I never played against him. Got to watch him a few times from the bench, but he's awesome. I mean, like the LA players, not just their DPs, but how their organizations ran and the style they play, and they put out a winning product. And when you put out a winning product like that, you know, you're going to get the fans. You're going to get, you know, the community to come together to, you know, rally behind the guys. And that's why they're so resilient. And when people thought they weren't going to make the playoffs, you know, they turned it on. And
we have a connection. Dave Sarakin, the assistant coach, is from Rochester. He played for the Lancers.
He's a UVA guy.
He's a UVA guy too. With Serena.
So him and Kurt Onofo is also out there. So that's a UVA connection. So maybe I can get out
there. That's where Ross went to school, ladies and gentlemen, at the University of Virginia, where he won a national championship there. So, let me ask you, who is your favorite player? Who is the guy that you look up to as a young professional?
that I played against or just past, present?
Your hero, your hero.
Who's my hero? I mean, one of the guys that I did watch a lot was Thierry Henry. Arsenal was a team that was always on TV, at least, you know, I could see them. I liked the Man U's back in the day, all the Manchester United players. I liked Roy Keane's game. I think he's really hard-nosed. He works hard. He is what you like from a player. He's not fancy. He knows his role. He does it well, and he's always willing to do whatever he has to do for the team's success. So guys like that I look up to. Like I said, I don't think I had a particular. I just like to watch.
I thought you were going to say Messi because you were touting Barcelona.
Touting Barcelona. I mean, everyone's giving him a hard time now. But, I mean, like I said, even the best have to lose sometimes, right?
I know. So. That's the way the game is.
So, yep. Ross, you're hurt in preseason. When do you think you'll be on the field ready to go?
The coach said next week.
Might be this week, next week?
I've been slowly getting back into things. This is my second practice back. I don't want to rush things. I want to make sure I'm healthy and that I don't get hurt again and then have another setback. But I think I should give it a little run this weekend down in Harrisburg and then continue to get where I want to be and hopefully be in that starting 11 sooner rather than later.
You see number 5 on the jersey, number 1 in your hearts. Ross LeBeau, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks,
really
guys.
Appreciate
thank
it.
You so much. Thanks for
it was
being
a pleasure dining with you tonight.
Oh, yeah, it was awesome. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Well, Joe, everybody's packing up shop here, so I think we're going to pack up shop, too. But we want to thank our guests tonight. Christian Niche joined us earlier on, and Matt Lucenaris, my Chelsea guy, was with us. And Coach Jesse Myers of the Rhinos, Dave Selinsky, Georgios Kitiasis, the player assistant coach, and Ross LeBeau as well.
Exactly.
So a great evening here at the Italian-American Spark Club.
Great food.
And, again, every other Thursday, you have lunch here at the Sport Club, 1250 Buffalo Road, and you can't get any better meal in town, definitely. And I want to thank everybody, all the Rhinos organization, for having us here in the Sport Club for setting us up for this podcast. And, of course, we'll be back on the air Monday night with more national, international, and local soccer news, and every Monday night throughout the whole year.
Dick Howard and Mike Lewis will be back.
That's right.
You know, we'll talk soccer.
We'll talk more about Chelsea.
Yeah. This is our game, so that's our passion.
That's right. And we're going to thank you, Joe, for all you do, and thank all of our guests. And we'll see you on Monday night here on the live radio show on WYSL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM. Or you can go to socceristhekickinthegrass.com to hear a live broadcast or the podcast like this one here. So for Joe Sirianni, say goodnight, Joe.
Buonanotte.
I don't know how you say it in Greek, but I'll just say this is Andrew Battisti. Have a good night, everyone.
Thank you for listening to this podcast version of Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. Soccer is a Kick in the Grass podcasts are presented by Top Notch Monogramming Northfield Commons, Pittsburgh, and brought to you by the following sponsors: the Rochester Rhinos, the Rochester Lancers, and Western New York Flash, Salvatore's Pizza and Donuts Delight, Dr. Frank Grayson Chiropractor, Livewire, Salen's Meat Products, Faber Homes, Allstate Insurance Agent Enzo Scolo, Dr. David Olivo Family Dentistry, and the Doug Miller Family Sports Park. Be sure to visit soccerisakickinthegrass.com for future podcasts, and don't forget, soccer is a kick in the grass.